Yeah, I think that's the key in it, is to be a freelance musician. It's like literally multiple things going on. Unless like one thing is so successful, it just brings all your money in.
Well, it occurred to us, like, you know, we relied so heavily on a live network and the Sparks that no one was doing any of the gigs. No one was doing any of the gigs or anything with anybody else. All the gigs were coming from live network did our promo.
Or are you exclusive with them? Did you join them exclusive from the start?
Yeah, we've been on for, I don't know, about 6 months or so. And then they started the managed bands thing. And at the time, there was only 10 bands on it. So, I mean, the work was great. And now there's 120 or something like that. I don't know.
It's crazy, just madness. Crazy amount of bands.
But it is what it is. But and that's, you know, the scary thing about it is when you rely on one source of income from one thing, and it's... You know, if you look at from my situation, so you have the gigging world, you have the teaching world, and then I have a little bit of remote session that you do. So you have three hands in each pot. You want as many different things coming out of each one of those as possible. So for gig-wise, if you're doing a cruise ship and you're doing a theatre show and you've got a wedding band and you've got random sessions that you're doing, that's a lot of different things that are just feeding one income. With teaching, for example, I did quite a lot of teaching for the Dorset Music Service. Which are all private lessons, like, well, maybe two in a group, 20 minutes. But that was over like 100 students a week I had doing that. But then you have, so if you got involved with something like that, and here, for example, we have Absolute Music. So you could do some teaching through that, and then you have your private lessons, and then something else maybe through the service. So again, it's multiple things in one income. And that's the biggest thing I think I've learned from the business side of it is, you've got to have multiple things going on.
Because if one just suddenly cuts off and it's always dependent on...
Exactly, like we went from having 110 weddings a year to I think it's 80 this year, and that's a big drop. Like, you know, it's a big... When that's the only thing that all three of you are doing, that's a big drop.
I mean, the number's still great. It's fucking awesome. But yeah, like you say, if you're... if it does drop or anything, then it does affect you, of course, if it's just the one thing you're on.
And especially now, like, you look at these 3 months and it's nothing there, and it's, you know, it's terrifying. But you got to make the choice of whether you're just going to sit there and think, what the hell are you going to do? Or are you going to...
Use it as an opportunity, really.
And not plan too much. Just kind of have an idea and then just kind of get on with it. It's, I think it's important. So just try to do that, really.
What have you...
It's quite...
Oh, sorry, go on.
I say it's quite funny when Chris brought up the fact he wanted to do something else. It was such relief. So, that me and Dan were like, can you believe him? Can't believe it. Unbelievable. And I'm like, secretly, oh, thank you, Chris.
Well,
what were you going to say?
I was just going to ask you about, because obviously you've been doing the wedding band, what you say, for like 7 or more years now. I was going to pick your brain about like things you've learned about it, maybe like what's it like working with a live network or agencies, I don't know, what kind of lessons have you learned and stuff.
Okay, so starting with the live network, so I think our live network are awesome, like everybody who works there, every time we've been they're so friendly, and they're wonderful people to work with. I think there's they've made a couple of mistakes, which they have owned up to us about how many bands they've taken on, and they've almost tried to spread it too thin, I think. And a big issue is that you look at the first 10 pages and every band's the same. All the pictures look the same. All the bands have the same.
Well, yeah, it's kind of hard to not have the same photos unless the bands put them themselves, because you've got the same photographer and the same studio. Yeah, I mean, like, so
definitely
see how that happens.
Yeah, exactly. As far as the weddings themselves, I mean, there's, I think, careful what I say here. a lot of musicians really irritate me because, especially on, there's a couple of groups on Facebook, which I won't mention, that are, you know, connected with certain things. The amount of moaning and bitching that goes on is unreal.
In what, like, regards, you mean?
Complaining about gigs, refusing to do gigs that have got noise limiters. And, I mean, the amount of gigs we've got because someone said, well, that's the volume that we play.
Yeah.
I, you got to be all that's saying to me is that they're more concerned with themselves and the fact of what they're doing for a job. And I think if you know, we have managed to make this a success.
Yeah, 100%. Mate, I 100% hear you loud and clearly, man. I really do. It's like, you want to be a musician, but like, maybe a lot of bands are jumping into the wedding market or event market, and it's not really what they want to do, and that's why they're complaining about stuff and they're making excuses and all this sort of stuff.
But, you know, but also, like, they're going into it straight out of coming out of uni, and when before the Spark started, we had a year when I was at home. Did pub gigs, and we did about 360 gigs in 1 year of just pub gigs just to make rent. We're doing 3-4 gigs a night and not finishing till 7 in the morning. Like, we had a gigs in Guildford, then we had to get back for Dorothy's and Weymouth, and it's, you know, you're getting 20 quid a gig ish if you're lucky. So for us, when we went into the wedding scene, we couldn't believe it, because you're turning up and instead of getting 20, 30 quid, you're getting 200, 250 each, and you turn up at 5. Sometimes you get fed. That's another thing that I think musicians need to get over a little bit. They expect to be fed when they get there. And you're only there for 5 till midnight. Like, bring your own food. The only time I've ever asked for it is, like, if you're there at 9 in the morning because you've got to play during the ceremony, and you're in the middle of Cornwall and you literally can't get anywhere because, you know, you've got a ceremony, then you've got a jazz set, and then you're playing background music while they're eating their dinner, and then you've got a couple of hours free where you have to set up in the next room, and then you're playing for 3 hours. Then that's nice. But I think a lot of guys just expect to be given all this stuff because they come straight out of uni and straight into it, and then suddenly there are little things that are a little bit irritating. But
any job, any career, isn't it? Any avenue you go down, there's going to be annoyances. Please. There's going to be things that aren't perfect. Nothing's perfect, but I hear you loud and clear, man. 100%. I know so many musicians, and like you say, on Facebook, you see it as well. Just people complain about the smallest things that are just not important, and it's clearly just shows that they don't like. What you were saying about you doing the pub gigs, paying you not very much money, like, you're doing so many more as well, so you're spreading yourself, you know, you're using way more of your time, which is a good way in a way to start off that way, because all the stuff you learn, but you can't keep that up like long term. And then when it's a contrast bias, isn't it, when you go to a different type of thing, whereas maybe a few like less gigs, you're more money. And do you know what I mean, like, it's, things are just better in your eyes. You appreciate all the stuff that you've now leveled up to.
It also means that, for example, we had in August last year before last year, and we had 24 or 25 weddings in August. So that's a busy month, but still it's not 4 a night for 5 nights right now. You know, so it's still perspective. And it's I mean, from an instrument point of view, because this is heavily related to the industry of the wedding stuff now, like the equipment that people are using. So bass players and guitar players, like, for example, Chris is using a Helix. Dan's using just a floorboard. And he's got a Dark Glass preamp. So that's his thing that goes straight to the desk. He doesn't use an amp on stage. I've spent a lot of time trying to play dynamically, so being able to play quiet. Again, the amount of gigs that I've got because the drummer said, well, that's the volume I play, deal with it. That's not being a musician, that's just being a drummer and, you know, just wanting to do your thing. But again, that's what you want to do, it's fine. But if you've got...
That's going to stop you from getting more work, more money.
Exactly. And, you know, venues are getting smaller and noise limiters are everywhere. So for us, for example, with it being a trio, it works really well because you can fit into corners, you can fit in, when we played in people's living rooms and lounges and stuff, and so I remember we did a hen party and we were literally in the corner. So people have an awareness of their equipment, drummers being able to play softer and still try and make it look like you're enjoying yourself. And, you know, the venues who played out where they've got 86 decibel limiters, you know, we're okay because I just bring my volume down. The guys haven't even got amps on stage and we're all using in-ears. So everything's going out the PA. So there's no fallback speakers coming out back anymore. All the extra volume that you don't need for the audience is gone. Saying that, though, we've done a couple where... Have you seen those speaker ceilings?
was literally thinking that as you said like all that stuff, I was literally picturing gigs that I've done last year where it was like a purposely built marquee that, like, you know, they don't break down or anything, and the ceiling's like that, like a triangle type shape, and then like the speakers are inside the roof. And like, if that's the same thing you're talking about, it's like you stand under it and you can hear it, but as soon as you walk away, it just sounds like there's nothing going on. And I'll play those gigs, man.
It's so funny though, if you've got an acoustic drum kit though, the guy stood over by the bar just thinks he can only hear me.
It's just drums.
Because you can't hear anything else unless you stand directly in front of us.
Yeah.
And I'm looking over while playing, and they're like, why is the drummer just playing? I mean, do they not realise that no one else is, like, plugged in?
Yeah, we had the same thing, and it was everything. Like, we had electric kit, and obviously, like, no volume where we were stood. And, like, these two ceiling panels that are speakers. So you have to stand directly under them, which is where the dance floor is. But anyone who's, like obviously, this marquee had, like, pillars and stuff. There's a pillar right next to me where three people are stood. They're not in range of these speakers. So they just stood at us watching this band, and they're just like, I just see their look on their faces, like, really confused. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, and I'm like, well, our singer's just like, move this way, and you will, you know, you'll hear us.
Yeah. it's so funny, though.
It is.
But yeah, I mean, the wedding industry is, the venues are smaller and there's noise limits. So if you can get through that, and I mean, we've both been in situations where you could be in a situation like that and someone's got an issue with it, or someone has a huff and a puff, and it's just not necessary, because you're all there together, you're all earning the same amount of money anyway, so just smile and get on with it, and just do that, and make sure you play Mr. Brightside.
It's a great way. I think I mean, there's so many things like in like a wedding band and stuff, like from points we made earlier of like, you know, musicians wanting to do other things or having other goals, and like this just being another like thread to their whole thing. Like, how do you think like you deal with, I mean, you're going through it right now, I guess, but like, how do you deal with like, what's your approach to like a musician or someone like that, maybe not fully involved in this, or like maybe they're starting to like wanting to drift off somewhere else, do you know what I mean? Which isn't a bad thing, it's not wrong or right, it's just
that's the situation I'm in right now, so you know, it's all Chris's fault in the day.
Damn, Chris.
That's the situation I'm in, so it can be quite a scary situation if you haven't thought about it before. And I think the one thing that Dan was a little worried about was I just don't think he'd thought about it. I think, you know, and that's all right. That's perfectly okay. It's just and so I think if you haven't thought about it, and you're not aware that other people in the bands don't want to just do this, then it can be quite scary, I think. But yeah, I mean, I suppose I haven't led a band where, I mean, I don't know what your situation is with debts or anything, or how busy your guys are, but I haven't led a band where I've really had to worry about it. So the shit that we did at the end of last year, we had another male singer and a female singer join us for that. Now, that band was for that contract. We had a similar thing at the start of the year. So I didn't really worry about it too much, because as far as I was concerned, they were there to do that contract. And if they wanted to do more, and if we wanted to do more with them or something came in, then great. But I'm not, that's the other reason why this work has been so successful, is because it has been all everyone has done. It's a lot more difficult if you've got a drummer who's in five bands, bass players in three bands, because there's only, you know, like 50 odd Saturdays a year. They're the ones that are going to get booked up. You know, we looked at basically the year and went, well, there's no reason why you shouldn't get 100 gigs, because you do every Friday and Saturday. And then that gives you 2 weeks off for holidays, a week off for Christmas, and then a week off throughout some other time to go on holiday somewhere. So, but yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's very good. I definitely think yeah, a big key to your band's success and probably that helps is when everyone's on the same page. Do you know what I mean? If you've got other people.
Yeah, and we lived in the same area as well.
Yeah. That's definitely a benefit.
When you've got people driving in from all over the place.
It just hinders it, you know. It's a little bit more of a challenge. Definitely.
Because there are agents and there are bands who put bands together for weddings, aren't there? And they have an umbrella name, but they have four or five bands that go out under it.
Yeah.
And they were, I've done a few of them where you're sat there thinking, who are these people? Like, because, I don't know, the guitar player just doesn't know any of it. Or the singer hasn't sung a note in tune all night. And you kind of sat there. But again, you just kind of go, okay, well, that's an easy 200 quid made. Go home, that pays for half my rent for this month. So, whatever, it's fine. No,
I played a gig, actually, in Weymouth. I came down for the weekend, and it just so happened to line up. And it was... for a band, it was a four-piece band. I think drums, bass, guitar, and female singer. And it was really funny because I turned up and I saw the drummer unloading. I was like, "Oh, hey, how you doing? Like, that's me. My name's John. Like, are you the drummer? Like, is this your?" I can't remember what I said, but I assumed he was the drummer, right, for this band. And he's like, "Oh no, like I'm a dep as well." I was like, "Oh, okay." Like, and then I realized that basically a band got booked for this gig. They couldn't do it for some reason or whatever, or they did a different gig. They hired, so there's no band now for this gig. This guy who leads that band hires a singer who looks like a singer they booked, right? And then this singer has booked her own band. Me being a bass player, the drummer being like, you know, a dep, and this guitarist that I think she worked with before or something. So basically the whole band is deps. No one's playing with anyone.
So it's a bit like stars in their eyes, but for a wedding band.
Yeah, luckily it wasn't a wedding. I think with weddings, there's a bit more pressure and stuff, and I think with like events and stuff like that, there's a little bit more leeway, you know? It's not as much pressure, because there's no first dance, there's no like... one person's booked you, and there's like way more people at events, whereas two people have like really been precise about the venue, the cake, the food, the guests, the seating arrangements, the bands, why they've chosen the bands, you know? So I think it's a bit less pressure on events rather than weddings, but luckily it was an event. But yeah.
So how are you finding it then? So is Penthouse, is that aimed purely at weddings and corporate things, or is there another side of it as well?
So I kind of just dived straight into it. I put the band together and I knew what the music and style was and my vision for it. And it just ended up being more weddings. Like we joined agencies and stuff, and it just ended up being more weddings. Like that's pretty much the majority of our work. And that's kind of one thing I want to get into, is more of the corporate events and stuff. You know, I see a lot of the bands that I follow and stuff, like in London especially, it's really the gigs they're playing. Like they're playing at, you know, Natural History Museum, these massive venues where it's just like they look ridiculous, you know, in a good way. And it's like, you know, there's obviously, if a band can do it, then there's a way into it, you know. And it's just like anything, you just got to figure out the path of how to do it, whether it's contacts, whether it's certain agencies, whether it's certain music you need to play, I don't know. You know, but we just kind of fell into weddings and then majority of our work. So, been chasing more of that and working more of that. But like, there's so many different options for gigs out there, not just weddings, you know?
So, I remember whatever the last royal wedding was, I thought, there you go, that's the gig you want. Like, I remember there was a function band playing outside and staying in the crowd. And they were playing Valerie. And it was like a 5-6-piece band with like horns and stuff. And I remember looking at it thinking, yeah, that'll be a cool gig to do. So we got a wedding gig, but you know, it's for the royals.
Yeah, no, that's it, man. That's a great thing, I think, about seeing other bands, what the small minority of bands can do. Yeah, really push it. Like another band I saw, they played the after party at the Brit Awards. And it's like, that's fucking incredible, man. Like, you know, like to be able to do that gig. So it's really like, it just, that to me just shows me like this, that is what's possible. So why can't we go get it? You know, it's just going to take a matter of like figuring it out and a matter of time, you know?
So how are you doing, like, because the other people in your band, are they doing other things as well?
Oh, 100%, man. Yeah. Now, guitarist, he's big on teaching, like privately and stuff. My drummer, he works in another band, a Who tribute. The singer, I think he does like a little bit of other stuff. I mean, that's the thing with singers as well. A lot of the singers I know and have met and come into contact with and stuff, they all want to do original music.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that at all. But like, I don't think a lot of singers understand how, like, every single singer wants to be an original artist. Single one does. And others are willing to put more work in and will put like all their effort, money and time into it and still won't get anywhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because it's so hard.
That's a really interesting part though, isn't it? Because when you start playing, that's what you want to do, isn't it?
That's why you
want to be in a rock band or whatever, and play and stuff, and you write stuff in your first couple of bands and stuff. But there's another thing Chris said actually, was like, because obviously he's got his own album out, and we had a like a kind of a funk fusion sort of band as well, where we wrote a few songs. But you know, in that same conversation, Chris was like, "I'm not interested in pushing it. I don't have the time or the
it's not on
the facility to do it, because it's one thing or the other. So obviously Chris has got a family as well, so he's got to choose to how he's going to spend his time. If he's going to spend time away from the family, it's got to be towards something that he wants to do. And again, that was another kind of weight off everyone's shoulders, and almost thinking like, okay." Cool, because it's always something that you talk about. I think, oh yeah, we'll get around to it, do it, or whatever. But no, it's not going to happen. So that's fine. It's clarity, same as everything.
I think that's an important thing as well. Like, to get clarity, you know, to not be delusional about, like, because there are so many things to do. Like, you know, be an original artist or be an original band or something. You know, there's so many options in music, which is amazing. But it's good to, like, at least for a period of time, just like cut off that lane and be like that's great, but I'm not gonna do what's required to do that, so there's no point in me thinking about it right now, and find what your focus is and just go down that lane. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and try and be as tunnel visioned and just be obsessed about it as all you can.
Yeah.
So out of interest, so 10 years from now, how old will you be in 10 years?
I'll be 41.
41, okay, cool. Yeah. So imagine you're 41. What would you want the last 10 years to be? Like, what would you want to look back at and go, I did what I wanted to do?
For me, I mean, like, just in music, you mean?
Yeah, or your career in general.
I mean, to be fair, like, my goal, like, one of the things we discussed, I think you brought up earlier, was, you know, I realised, I can't remember what it was, I think it might have been, like, last summer, type thing or something like that, but I've realized that there's obstacles, there's pillars in the way of what I'm doing that just make it a little bit more difficult. You know what I mean? Like everyone has, there's more people in my band, so there's more people that want to do their own thing or have their own ambitions and goals. Absolutely fine, but it just makes it a bit more difficult because the band's bigger. People don't live all in the same area, so like, that's a little bit more of a obstacle. Those kind of things, you know. I quickly realised that this band is going to take a lot longer than I thought it would be to build up to where I want it to be. So I quickly got my head around that, I'm like, okay, I accept that it's not going to happen as quickly as I want it to. So, but I still want it to happen. So I'm going to go slow and persevere with it and just keep going until it eventually gets to where I want to manifest. At the moment, like, when I realized that, I was like, okay, I need to do other stuff as well. So, like, one of the other things I'm trying to start now at the moment is, and it's always been a hobby and a passion of mine on the side, is like video editing and videography. So yeah, that's kind of something I'm doing at the moment, which I'm trying to pursue on the sidelines as well. So I mean, like, 10 years for me, like, what would be amazing would be to have the band as successful as I want it to be, to be able to play some of the gigs that I want to play as well, to really just, like, establish it as a name, you know. And another thing I'm trying to do, like, I want to, like, with the podcast and stuff like that and the YouTube channel, I want to create like a platform for like a community really for musicians and stuff, where I can, I mean, the worst case scenario is that I just get to talk to musicians like yourself, friends of mine, and reach out to people I don't know, and I just want to learn, you know, I want to like grab some of their knowledge and put it onto this, and if anyone watches this and listens to this, it's like there's something to learn, hopefully. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From two people that have experience with their music, like similar and different, you know. That kind of stuff. Yeah. Like that's something I want to build up as well. And the video stuff as well. There's certain goals I got for that, but
that's gonna really help, isn't it, with the pushing the music side of it, knowing your way around video editing and all that 100%. Sort of stuff.
Yeah. It all flows into each other, I think. If you got different lanes, you can have different lanes of what you want to go to, and they mm-hmm. kind of all intersect, they all kind of flow in together at some point, you know, and that's for me, like video editing and videography, it can flow into my band, how I create content around different social media platforms and promotional videos that we do, and things like that, and who knows where else it will lead to as well, but it's just developing certain skills, you know, and it might lead on to somewhere completely different, but I just think for myself, the most important thing is just always pushing yourself, always learning, always having a focus, and as long as you're getting better, I mean, that's the main thing. It's just constantly improving, because you're giving yourself more value, and that ends up somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And there's, you know, the few weeks ago when, you know, the band had this conversation, it occurred to me, because I used to have this mindset, which was, when you go to bed at night, if you're not a better musician than you were when you woke up, and you haven't done something to promote your business, then you need to get up and do it. So whether it's practicing something or just applying for an audition, or at least just doing something, sending an email, you know, returning a phone call, all that sort of stuff, that's something that's very simple yet extremely effective, I think. So if everybody did that, so, because, you know, as you know, you can't build a business up if the actual product itself isn't great, and it's pointless building up your product if the business sucks.
Yeah.
So it's trying to do that. But so what are you practicing at the moment?
Honestly, I'm not really practicing that much at all. Like you say, like, no, not really. I mean, music-wise and playing-wise, all I'm really doing at the moment, because like we said earlier, unless you have a goal, there's nothing to strive for. There's nothing to like push you out of your comfort zone to get better, to push your skills and stuff. So yeah, at the moment it's like I'm not really doing that playing wise. It's more with the band and stuff. I'm always just working on the visual elements, that like the videography stuff. That is one element that I use for my band. Another thing is creating arrangements and stuff like that. I'm always trying to create different arrangements and medleys and things like that, and I just want to develop the show of the band, you know, the sound of the band, the just how we play, because like how we play, and we had it from the start, and we developed it a lot at the start, and it's like more I want to focus on. But it's like we play 2 1-hour sets, let's say, that's our standard thing, but from the very start, like the music just doesn't stop, really. Like every song segues into something else, unless we have a specific point where like the singer will, you know, have something to say, or there'll be a reason for saying something, or, you know, or whatever it is. The sets were just basically really specifically designed and thought about, and how we did stuff, you know. But it's just constantly making it more of a show, and making it more just better, you know, improving it all the time.
I think that side of it's really, I think that's another reason why we've managed to do some work, because we've always done the same thing. So, you know, if we didn't have a break in the middle, it would be 2 hours literally non-stop. That makes it a lot more fun, I think, for people in the band, because it becomes a bit like a live DJ in some ways. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
The thing is, if you stop and you get
You're like,
oh.
Yeah. Or if you just get a stop and the guitarist is just tuning, and all you hear is bam, 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 bam. I mean, it's like, it just doesn't sound professional. It doesn't look professional, all that sort of stuff, you know? Like,
well, that side of it, though, we found, because it's been a couple of times where I've had to deck gigs out, or Dan's had to deck gigs out. Oh, there was a weekend that Chris couldn't do, actually. I just remembered. But it was when his little one was being born, so we'll let him have that. That's okay.
That's the day you can have off, Chris.
Damn, Chris! I can't remember what I was going to say now. Oh, well.
It'll come
back. Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
There you go.
So if you were having, like, Depp guys come
yes.
in, that show element, we don't ever do. So if we ever a Depp come in, then it literally just becomes a list of 30 or 35 songs for the
night,
for example.
Yeah, when you've got the Depp and it's that important, it's a singer, you kind of have to simplify it, don't you, to be able to get through a gig, because you can't do what you can't do your 100%. The band has to drop a little bit to be able to do it. You can't expect someone to just jump on one gig and learn how you do everything just for one gig, you know?
Yeah, totally. That's cool, man, that you're doing that, though.
We have, like, our certain sound, you know? Like, we sell ourselves or try to put ourselves around more, like, you know, it's current music, but it's also a lot more 90s R&B, you know, Kiss Radio. Like, that's kind of what I always sell us on. It's like, if you listen to Kiss Radio, that's kind of our repertoire. You know, it's like old school, bit of garage music, bit of dance music, like Craig David, like, you know, but mashed up with other stuff. You know, like, that's kind of our sound anyway. And there's particular clients we have, and most of them are like late 20s, early 30s, maybe 40, you know, because it's our generation that grew up with that sort of stuff anyway. It was all on the radio at the time, you know. So that's kind of a little bit of a niche. One thing I have noticed is that, like, a lot of, I mean, you listen to read any books or whatever, and everyone says, like, go niche, go specific, like, be, like, you know, the best in your niche, you know? Whereas, like, Alive Network, for example, they do not want you to go niche, or they want you to go a particular way. They have always tried to steer our band indie, because they're like, you know, this is what's most popular. Like, four piece all male band playing indie music is what we sell the most of, or whatever. That's what they told me from the very start, and they've always kind of steered us in that, or tried to steer us in that direction. Whereas, like, from the very get of this band, it was like, well, let's go to this niche because, one, we enjoy playing that music, so we're going to perform better enjoying the music we play. Let's create live arrangements. Let's make it what we want to play, you know, like, not too much so it's like all what we want to do, you know, because that will never work. But it's like the balance, you know, like it's will satisfy enough people, and it will also, like, be exactly what we want to do as much as we can make it. So it's like in the middle, in the sweet spot. But I find it's a little bit difficult at times because you know, they have their own perspectives, or agencies do in general, because they want to make the most money. They want to sell what works the best because that's where they make the most money.
That's the issue, though. Then they've got 300 bands who are all doing the same thing, but then people don't get sold as much. So
yeah,
I think it's good, man. I think it's good that you got your own vibe and you got your own thing. You know, it's important to know what your business model is. You know, and like I said earlier, for us, it's a 3-piece sound limiter friendly.
Yeah,
you know, and we have a wide range of stuff, and
like
for us, it's basically one big medley, and it's you know, you get nice comments on it and stuff, and you're not trying to be anything else. Like, because they suggested to us as well that, you know, you need to do certain things. Like, for example, a lot of the modern stuff, some of it isn't going to be around this time next year. So for us, it's almost irrelevant to learn it, because you're going to play it for 6 months and then it's going to die for about two, 3 months, and then you're going to have to replace it anyway. So it's about being, you know, for what we were doing, trying to be clever about, okay, what song's going to stick around? What's kind of worth our time learning? If you know,
that's hard to predict as well. That is hard to predict, you know, because when it's massive, and you might learn it and it, but you don't know how it's going to go down at a wedding or a party, and you can't just judge a song, playing it once at a wedding, it flops, and you think that's how it's going to run every time you play it. Like, you have to have way more of a consistent basis than testing it to see what the majority of weddings are like, or the reception is like from that song.
Definitely. And there is, you know, there's a handful of, say, like 10 songs, you know, there's Bright Side, Don't Look Back in Anger, Sex on Fire, My Girl, Superstition, you know, there's but I've always thought like we should write like a real book for a function band.
I remember you saying that years ago.
And just like, yeah. And just the songs that you know will work, like 100%. 500 Miles, yeah. Mustang Sally, you know, there is songs that if you're having the worst night ever and everyone's just sat there like, you know, we're not going to enjoy ourselves. You put out some of those and it's...
Yeah. No, that's cool, man. That's cool. Have you got anything else you want to talk about? Because I don't know how long we've been doing. It's been just over an hour.
Wow, it's 1:14. Crikey.
Woo! There you go. I have to edit this down. It's going to take all my computer memory. It's going to take up all my computer memory.
Everyone's watched this from beginning to end. Like,
yeah.
Well done. You've got such a t-shirt or something. Like that.
Right. Yeah, that's it.
You want t-shirts?
Nah.
That one?
Yeah. But yeah, we're going. Yeah, so is there anything else you want
to mention? Yeah, nothing else. No, I mean... Yeah, it's just to, like when I sent you a message like last week, it was just to get an idea of your experiences on the ships, but from a show band point of view, not from a function band point of view.
Yeah, definitely. I want to speak, like I said, I want to pick your brain about your band and stuff and your experiences, because, you know, that's what you've done for like such a long time, being successful with it, and it's, you know, just sharing information, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. It's nice to talk to you again. It's been so long.
But next time I'm down in Poole. Did you go back to Weymouth much, or are you mostly in Poole now? Obviously living there.
I never really go back to Weymouth anymore. Yeah. Really, I'm obviously to go see my dad and my sister. But
yeah.
That's kind of it. Really, I like going to see them. But
yeah.
Now kind of here. Really, nice, I'm really enjoying it. It's nice to live somewhere different. And, it's cool, man. Yeah, it's cool. Just this. What's nice is it takes off like an hour to like all the gigs, unless we're going to Cornwall way. Like we had like New Year in London, for example, and the boys, you know, just picked me up on the way. So for me, it was like a 2-hour drive to get to the gig, and like they got another hour and 10 on top of that because the traffic and stuff.
Yeah, and plus as well, you got somewhere to stay in Poole, and then you also got somewhere to stay in Weymouth as well. So it's like two locations. Yeah. Which is good.
Nice, man. Yeah, from a teaching point of view, I have some students who I still teach in Weymouth. I have some that I teach in Poole, so it's nice to have two bases. It's good.
Nice.
Yes.
All right, mate. Well, I'll leave it at that. It's been a long convo.
What's that, an hour and 20?
Yeah. And I get some dinner.
Yeah, Mitzi, what are you having?
Probably just gonna have a curry, something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Nice curry. Cool. Yeah, man. All right, well, I'll speak to you soon. I'll get this uploaded and I'll tag you in it and stuff. And man, we'll speak soon. We'll keep in contact, obviously.
I'll
speak to you in 5 years, bro.
You'll be like, Mike, how'd the ship go? And I'll be like that. Oh, I should have gone, man. Why did you tell me?
Nah, man, you'll enjoy it. Definitely keep me updated like on your ship stuff and auditions and that.
Yeah,
you get it.
Yeah, we'll do. I'll let you know if I get some.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, I should probably go back and practice now.
Yeah. Get to it, man.
Actually, dude.
See you later. Take care. Bye.